All right, we are live here with a Schloss rant, March 29th from the Philadelphia suburbs. And I wanted to continue with the MLB predictions that I made on the last episode of the podcast, because I talked only about the overs and the unders because we had a lot of Final Four talk. And I got to give you the divisions. I got to give you the wild cards. I got to give you who's going to win the World Series. And we'll get to, you know, the Cy Youngs as well. And also just one team that I feel like I just need to absolutely go off on. And it has a connection somewhat to me, and it's not the Yankees. So let's jump in right away, though, with the AL East. And in this, give me the Yankees. You might say this is a homer pick because, you know, I'm a diehard New York Yankee fan. I've been with this team for the most part since 1996, you know, and if you know me well, you know I rooted for the Mets in the 2000 World Series and that Subway Series. But for the most part, I've been with this Yankee team since about 1996. And I think that this team has enough firepower offensively. Obviously, Judge is there. You bring him back. You got Rizzo. You got Stanton. I think if DJ LeMahieu can get over some of these injuries. And the pitching is a little bit concerning. I got to be honest. You bring in Rodon on a huge deal, already injured. You bring in Severino and, you know, or you don't bring him in, but he's there and he's injured yet again. And it makes sense why he signed that four-year, $40 million pact a few off seasons ago because he wanted to get some money because clearly he must have known that he's super injury prone. And I think with some of the rule changes, though, especially with this Yankee offense, Rizzo, a guy who hits all sorts of hard hit balls and they were going as ground balls to short right field. And now with, you know, not having the infielders being able to play back on the outfield grass, I think that that maybe adds some more hits based on the fact that if you watch him, he hits the ball pretty hard all the time. So raise that batting average a little. He was a guy who only hit about 225 last year. So if he gets that up even to 250, he's got some more hits. And I think the Yankees overall will have enough. I think Stanton, he had a pretty bad year last year. He only hit like 211. And, you know, he still did hit 31 home runs. He's a guy that when he gets hot, there's no one hotter in baseball. He can put the team on his back. He can go through a stretch, you know, where they win six or seven games in a row just based on the fact that he's going off at like a 470 batting average clip. And I think the staff for the Yankees, though, overall, I think you got Cole. He's making all the money, but he's been a pretty good investment so far. He takes the ball every fifth day. You know what you're going to get with him. You got Nasty Nestor, who obviously has the nasty stuff. And I think that there's enough there, and you throw in Clay Holmes closing out games. And I know that the AL East is tough because every single team in that division, there's no one who's a laughingstock. Even Baltimore finally started to build a little bit of something last year with bringing up, you know, guys like Rutschman and, you know, having competitive hitters there with Santander and Mullins. Tampa's always going to be competitive. Toronto's loaded, especially offensively. You got, you know, Bichette. You got Vladdy Jr. You got George Springer. That team's loaded. Even bringing in a guy like Dalton Varsho, just, you know, some extra pieces. No easy outs in the lineup there for Toronto. And Boston, they might be rebuilding, but you still have Devers. Devers is legit. He's one of my favorite players to watch. He's another guy who I just think hits the ball hard, and I know he's on the Red Sox, and I shouldn't even remotely like any of these Red Sox, but he's a guy I genuinely enjoy watching. I've had him in fantasy here and there. You know, the players are going to perform whether you root for them or not, and he's just a guy who hits the ball hard, and he's got a real nice lefty swing. So Boston's not a joke. I mean, you got Justin Turner there also. I'm not saying Boston's going to be great, but they're not just going to pack it in. They've got a chance probably still to win, you know, in the low 70s to upper 70s and try to, you know, compete. It's not really competing. But the point is they're not going to be Washington. They're not going to be Pittsburgh. They're not going to be Cincinnati. The talent is definitely there in the American League East. But give me the New York Yankees to win this division. All right, in the Central, I had to make a last-minute change. I was going to pick the Guardians, okay? But if Tristan McKenzie is going to be a little bit more injured, I'm changing it to the White Sox. And I think the White Sox, especially with that rotation, this is a team you have to love. Dylan Cease is the number one frontrunner to win the American League Cy Young. You've got guys like Kopech. You've got Giolito. Even your fifth starter is Mike Clevinger. I mean, that's one heck of a fifth starter. He was a dominant pitcher with the Guardians, and, you know, he's had some off-the-field issues. But that's a great fifth starter, so you got that. And even while your closer Liam Hendricks is going to be out as he's battling cancer, we hope the best for him. This is a team that has flat-out talent. The only question is, can they stay on the field? Do I love Tim Anderson's on-base percentage for a guy who's going to hit over 300? No, I don't. This is a guy who doesn't take a walk. But I need to see a little more improvement on the health front from Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez. And even Benintendi was injured last year when he was on the Yankees. So if they can stay healthy, and that's a big if, but they don't have any weaknesses in the lineup. Even you like what you see from the catcher with Yasmani Grandal. So I think this is a team that's going to win the AL Central. They're really just solid, especially with the pitching staff. And I was going to pick the Guardians again because I think McKenzie's a stud. He's 6'6", kid from New York City. And, you know, if he's going to be injured, which it seems like he's going to be, even when you have Bieber there and Quantrill there and you have a closer as good as Emmanuel Clase, this White Sox team, I think, has the narrow edge. And I think the tie goes to them. And that's what made me flip-flop essentially right away here. In the AL West, I told you last night about Houston and their over 95.5 prediction. I mean, Houston, again, they develop pitchers and hitters. Doesn't matter who they lose, whether it's Verlander, Greinke, Gerrit Cole, Jose Altuve, George Springer. It doesn't matter. And I know there's pushback, you know, with Texas, who added Eovaldi, who obviously added Jacob deGrom, and they have a 13.5 improvement on their over-under total versus what they actually won last year. It's 82.5. Versus 68, though that would be even more than 13.5, but you get the idea. But I think Houston's going to win the division. I think that there's enough there. I think Jeremy Peña probably takes a step forward. This is a guy who doesn't really get on base, but that didn't seem to affect him come World Series time, come American League Championship Series time. So maybe he takes a little step better. Brantley, you know, that's going to be a little bit of a loss until he comes back. But again, I just think Houston knows what they're doing. And I think that's right now, unfortunately, they're the best organization in baseball. And I think as a Yankee fan, I know that as much as anyone, because that team's knocked me out in 15. They knocked me out in 17. They knocked me out in 19. And they knocked me out again in 2022. That team has just absolutely owned me. They've ended my season. So I think they get it done. Oakland's going to be absolutely in the dumpster. People are high on Seattle. Again, they made the playoffs last year. I'm not saying Seattle's going to be a bad team. I gave them out as an under. But I think that they're going to take a step back just from the fact that they won a lot of close games last year. And I'm not sure that that necessarily translates from year to year. So, again, give me Houston out of the American League West. Now, we transition over to the NL East. And this is going to make some of my friends back in New York upset. It's going to make the people here who are listening in Philadelphia upset. But give me the Atlanta Braves. This division last year was close between the Mets and them. The Braves were awful through up until about June or so. Then they finally went on a strong run. The Mets, of course, are without Diaz. We all saw him get injured at the end of the World Baseball Classic game while representing his country. I think swapping out Verlander for DeGrom is kind of a push for the Mets. But I still like the Braves with the rotation of Fried and Strider, and Wright, who will be back in a few weeks. Hey, even Mike Soroka comes back for the first time since 2020. So the pitching there has a chance to be loaded and dominant and really have not even a single weak link. I like the offense, too. I mean, Acuna's one of the best, you know, 3, 4, 5 players in baseball. Ozzie Albies has tremendous power for a second base. Not really a guy who's going to take a pitch. Matt Olson plays good defense over there at first base and can hit for some power. Michael Harris is a guy I expect to take another step forward. This is a guy who I think hit about 20 home runs last year. So he's got a chance to continue his development. And Austin Riley, another guy, again, not the best on-base percentage, but he's got enough pop over there. I think they're capable of holding off the Mets, especially with this pitching staff. I think the Phillies, I mean, people are going crazy on them. They won 86 games last year. I know they made the World Series. I know they gave Houston a run for their money. But I think when you're looking at Philadelphia, I think especially if Harper's going to be out for half the year. Rhys Hoskins is now going to be out the whole year, most likely. Yeah, you bring in Trey Turner, who I drafted in fantasy the other night with my buddy Eric. We've been splitting the team since 2004. But I think that, you know, Schwarber and Turner, it's a nice 1-2 punch up there at the top of the lineup. But I think the injuries to Harper and Hoskins are going to be enough to hold them back from claiming the division. And you do like the pitching, obviously, with Nola, and you like Zach Wheeler. So it's not like they're a bad team, and we'll touch on that a little bit more. But give me the Braves overall. I think the combination of the rotation that I'm going to be able to trust, 1 through 5, especially if Soroka comes back, combined with bats that I think are very, very talented. All right, let's go to the Central. I'm going to just say it right now. I'm picking the Cardinals. This is the worst division in the sport, and I said this last night also. The Pirates and the Reds shouldn't even bother coming north from Florida and Arizona. Their season's over before even the first pitch is thrown out. Watch, they'll probably both win tomorrow, assuming they're not playing each other, and I haven't checked the schedule yet. But the Brewers are another team you can look at here. They have two great starters, but if they can't score runs because Yelich has taken up so much of this payroll and injuries have kind of derailed him, that's, you know, the reason why, you know, they are not really able to score as many runs because Yelich is a shell of his former self. And I know he's still capable of stealing 15 bases, but he was once one of the best players in baseball, probably the best player in the NL. And he's just clearly not the same player anymore after all these injuries. And maybe you look to see the Brewers that if things are not going right, if they can't score runs, that they look to sell off Corbin Burnes, who's, you know, obviously an amazing pitcher. We all know that. And he's hired Scott Boras recently. So the Brewers just might say, screw it. Let's just sell him now, try to get something back because we know we're not going to pay him anyway. Cardinals, I mean, they have really solid players, though, on the corners. They got the reigning NL MVP and Goldie, Paul Goldschmidt. Arenado, who only had a .312 on-base percentage in his first year with the Cardinals in 2021. This is a guy who's hit at least 30 home runs and 100 RBIs every single year of his career since 2015. No, we're not counting the COVID year of 2020. And this even includes his first 2 years with the Cardinals. And I thought he would struggle when he left the friendly confines of Coors Field in Denver, Colorado, with the high altitude. The Cardinals, I mean, their pitching is kind of a concern. Miles Mikolas, I don't know how to say this guy's name, but you know who I'm talking about. He's a guy who pitches to contact, and, you know, you worry a little bit with the no shifts that, okay, some stuff that might have been outs last year might be hits this year. Flaherty's going to need to come back from injuries. And I love their number three starter, Monty, of course, Jordan Montgomery, who was formerly with the Yankees. The Yankees could clearly use him right now because the guy they got back in that trade, Harrison Bader, he's injured too. So I think the Cardinals have enough there, and I think the deciding factor for picking them, and again, this is a bad division, but the deciding factor is the studs that you have on the corners with Goldie and Arenado. The Cubs, this team could be a factor here. I mean, I gave you them last night as an over, but again, I peg them as more of a mediocre team. I don't like the strategy that they have of bringing in players that are good but not great, because I don't think that that's a strategy to win. I think you have to do what the Astros did starting in 2012, 2013, tear the whole thing down apart, what the Orioles have done recently. I think that that is kind of your strategy to get better within Major League Baseball. And again, the Cubs do have a nice little rotation. You've got Stroman, you've got Tyone, you've got Kendricks. You know, you do also like bringing in Swanson. Again, who's a nice player. He's a shortstop that has, you know, a decent amount of pop and a really good glove. So I think that there's a chance that they do a little bit better. But I think that they're more like an 81 to 82 win team. And obviously that would sail over that projected 75, over 75 and a half, or 76 and a half, whatever it was. You can find it on the pod from last night. All right, the NL West, give me the Padres. I think the Dodgers are done in this division. They've won, I think, 8 straight division titles, whatever it is, or maybe the Giants won that 1 year in 2021 where they won 107 games. But the Dodgers, I think that they're going to take a step back. You don't really know who they're going to put in with that lineup. They're going to try to win with analytics, putting in all different types of people, including Trace Thompson, who's on his second stint with the Dodgers. Chris Taylor is going to play a little bit of a bigger role. And Chris Taylor is not as good as Justin Turner, despite his versatility. They don't have Trey Turner, obviously, anymore, who came to my neck of the woods in Philadelphia. And Trey Turner, his wife is from Flemington, New Jersey. That's kind of how he ended up there with the Phillies, kind of wanted to come to the East. The Mets didn't need him. Yankees weren't in on him, so that how he gets to Philly, and Flemington's kind of right in between Philly and New York. Anyway, I digress. Let's get back to the NL West with the Padres. I mean, this team's just loaded. I can't remember a team having this much high-end elite talent as they have, because what they have is they've got Tatis coming back on April 20th. We all know with the suspensions and, you know, the injuries, why he hasn't played. He missed all of last year due to those two things. You've got Soto, who's got to prove something. He was horrible last year by his standards. I mean, a guy had a 400 on base percentage, and I'm saying he was horrible. Did I have him on fantasy? Yeah, of course. He was not as good. He did not live up to the Juan Soto standard, which is coming in as a 20-year-old and being the best player in the sport. You've got Manny Machado there also, who re-upped with them. And you brought in Xander Bogaerts after the Padres missed out on Aaron Judge. So, you know, with Soto, though, again, he wasn't great last year by his standards. By his standards. And he's turned down in the past the Nationals' 14-year, $440 million deal. And he's playing for a contract because he's going to be a free agent after, I believe it's 2024. Yeah, because he's got this year and next. And I don't think the Padres would do this, but if they are bad, which I don't see happening, but if they are bad, there's a shot that they could flip him and kind of recuperate some of the prospects that they gave up to the Nationals to get him. But again, this team, the San Diego Padres, has more high-end talent and young to in their prime talent that I've ever seen. And even a guy like Jake Cronenworth, this is an above-average major league hitter. I mean, this is a guy who hit like 20 home runs last year. I think he hit like close to 280. So this is a guy who can play. And the rotation, you've got Yu Darvish, you got Musgrove, you've got Snell, who, while he's never going to post a 2 ERA again, he still had an ERA of 3.38. You've got Hader, who, if he's going right, he's a dominant closer in the back end of that bullpen. So I think those combinations of things, plus the Dodgers, you know, you're not really sure what they're going to be. And I know they won 111 games last year. The Dodgers just aren't going to be as good as they were. All right, now, from the wild cards, AL is pretty simple. Give me Tampa, give me Toronto, and I think we're going to go with the Guardians. I originally had the White Sox, but I flipped the White Sox and the Guardians. I don't have Baltimore in there. I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back, which, I mean, you know, if you're an Oriole fan, you might be disappointed about this because they were competitive last year, but I think that the Guardians have enough in there. They've got, you know, they just re-signed or, you know, bought out arbitration with Jimenez. They've got Jose Ramirez also, who's one of the best players that no one seems to talk about. Kwan is a guy who's going to put the bat on the ball, get on base at a pretty exceptional clip. Even though, again, these guys that I just mentioned, they're not big boppers. You know, Ramirez, if you get lucky, will he hit you 33, 34 home runs? Yeah. Jimenez, he's really, you know, he's a nice left-handed swing. He might get you 18, 19 home runs. Kwan doesn't have any power at all to speak of, but these are guys who put the bat on the ball. They get on base. Ramirez is a guy who, again, despite his frame, he's going to go out there and steal you, you know, 20, 25 bases pretty easily. He's a great base runner. I mean, he must just study the pitcher's moves all the time. And I think with the rules where the pitcher can only throw over twice, I think that's going to help him steal some more bases. So I like them to the Guardians to take that last wild card spot. Tampa's good every year. They pitch the ball well pretty much every year. They'll make it work offensively with their lineups. Toronto, again, they're absolutely loaded with Bo Bichette and Vladdy Jr. and, you know, all the guys there, Springer. They're just a really good team. All right, now, as far as awards, and then we'll get to the World Series. AL MVP, I like Bo Bichette to win it. I think his numbers, he's going to get you about 30 homers, 100 runs, 100 RBIs. I think he's going to steal 20 bags with a 290 average. I think the fact that Toronto's going to be really good also, that this guy is up and coming, that this is like a fun, exciting team, Toronto, I think that that's going to be enough of a narrative for him to win the MVP, even if there are, you know, better players in the American League, a la Jose Ramirez, a la Aaron Judge, a la Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. And I'll get to the Angels in a little bit. For the NL MVP, I think it's Soto. I think he's got something to prove. And again, this is a guy who last year still had a 400 on base percentage. Okay, but he hit like 240 something. And I think he's got a lot to prove. And he's playing to lock up that deal. I mentioned the other high-end talent on that team, Xander Bogaerts. He's locked up. Manny Machado. He's locked up. Fernando Tatis, you obviously know he's locked up. So Soto is the one guy on that team that's not locked up. So I think because of that, he's got a lot riding on this. Again, he's not a free agent till after 2024, but I think the fact that we all know how good he is, we all know how dominant he is, we all know that this guy gets on base as well as anyone probably in the history of the sport at his age, and I think he's still only about 24 years old. I think he's going to put up, you know, pretty typical year for him. He's going to get on base about 4, at a 430 clip. He's going to hit you probably 280, 290. And I think he'll hit 30 home runs. He'll have a nice high OPS, which those, you know, writers seem to look at now. Even if you go to a stadium, they show the OPS on the scoreboard instead of the typical batting average for each guy. And he'll score some runs and drive in a bunch of runs. He's not really a guy who's going to steal a lot of bases, but will he steal you five bases? Yeah, he might. So I think that overall package with everything that's riding on the line for him here. Again, he turned down a 14-year, $440 million deal. Even in the world of Major League Baseball, that's a lot of money, okay? So there is an immense amount of pressure on him, but I think he's going to pull through. I mean, this is a guy who at 20 years old was dominating the postseason. 20 years old. So, I mean, he made the Nationals look good for moving on from Harper. All right, now back to the World Series and these two teams I just mentioned. Give me the Padres over Toronto, all right? I know this is trendy. Both these teams are super trendy. This is not something normally I would do. I'd normally look a little more into this, but I just think that, and again, I didn't pick Toronto to even win the division, but I think that Toronto's got enough high-end talent. We already mentioned the high-end talent for the Padres, but again, you look at Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you look at Bo Bichette, you look at Kevin Gausman in the rotation, you look at, Manoah in the rotation. So I think that those pieces there, that's going to be enough that this team is probably going to make the World Series. And I think sometimes, you know, I want to pick the Yankees. Obviously, I want to pick the Yankees. They're my favorite team. I've been talking about this whole podcast. I've been riding with them for the most part since 1996. But I think that Toronto, again, I like their rotation. I mentioned Gausman, Manoah. They forgot they bring in Bassett. I mean, Jose Berrios is a pretty darn good fourth starter, and he's there too. So I think that the pieces that they have there, and I forgot about Matt Chapman too, and even a guy like Brandon Belt who's had some winning experience. So I think they're going to win the pennant. And, you know, in the NL last year, the Phillies won the pennant despite not winning the division. And again, I already mentioned the Padres. I just think they're loaded. Last year, they took it to the Dodgers. They won a playoff series. They showed that they're not really a pushover, and they're coming for them. And again, I would love to pick the Yankees. And this is going to be a little bit of a tear on the Yankees, and I'm liable to do this every now and again. The reason why the Yankees have not won the World Series since 2009 is because they don't hit come the postseason. People want to knock their starting pitching and their bullpen, but that's been good enough. Yankees last year in the Houston series, when they got swept, they hit 162. They hit 182 in the Guardian series last year. They won the Guardian series 3-2. They hit 243 against Tampa in 2020. But think back to that series. Giancarlo Stanton was the one doing most of the mashing. And even guys like Aaron Hicks did well in that series. They hit 214 in the 2019 ALCS where they lost to Houston. All right, 214, it's not good. It's better than the 100 numbers. But that included the series, a six-game series in which they won game one 7-0. And they had 13 of their 44 hits for that series. If you take out that game, they only hit 191 in that series. So it's tough for me to pick the Yankees knowing that this team doesn't come through in the postseason. They're unclutch. They have horrible, uncompetitive at-bats, and they get punked year after year by the Astros. So, no, I'm not picking the Yankees to win the World Series. That's rant number one. And rant number two, before we take a little break, because good old podcaster Spotify, podcaster creator Spotify, I don't know what this thing is called. It used to be called Anchor, but it's going to kick me off if I don't get through 30 minutes and I want to do the Knicks on the other side and add it on, and I know they're playing right now. But this is a hot mess situation that I need to talk to you about. And the team is the Anaheim, Los Angeles, California, whatever you want to call them, Angels. All right. That team is the Baseball Witness Protection Program. The Angels haven't made the playoffs since 2014. That is inconceivable when you have Mike Trout, who is an absolute slam dunk Hall of Famer, has put up numbers that no one in this generation has seen, and he's been doing it for over a decade. Obviously, you have him. You have Ohtani, too, who's a great hitter. And last year, he showed you he might even be better at pitching than he is at hitting. If I was Ohtani, though, there is no shot I'm giving the rest of my career to this garbage organization, horrendous team. Again, they are the Baseball Witness Protection Program. They play their games late at night here on the East Coast. Even if you're on the West Coast, and I lived in Arizona for 15 years, there is no shot, and I had the baseball package, and I still do. There's no shot that I would ever watch an California, Los Angeles, whatever they are, the Angels games. Otani would be a fool to re-sign with them. You got guys who've come through there, like Albert Pujols, obviously, at the end of his career. You bring in Anthony Rendon, so it's not that they're cheap. They signed also Josh Hamilton, Justin Upton. It's not that Artie Moreno, the ownership and the GM, are cheap. It's just that no matter what happens, the team never performs. They don't ever win. And the knock on them has been with the pitching. So you'd say, okay, now they've got guys like Patrick Sandoval. They got Reed Detmers, Tyler Anderson. But if those guys don't help the rotation at least be competitive with Ohtani and Trout in the lineup, this team should give up and trade Trout. Trade him. I get rid of him. What's the point of having these guys in Anaheim there, right off the I-5, if you're going to struggle to even win 82 games? This isn't a team, again, this is not a team that struggled because they've been cheap. Well, they have been cheap in some ways, and I'll get to that in a second. Because, again, they brought in guys like Hamilton, Rendon, Upton, even spending on a guy like Gary Matthews Jr. back in, I think, 05 or 06. C.J. Wilson, a pitcher who they brought in who was just terrible. But these guys haven't even been worth the paper their contracts are written on because of injuries and poor performance. And, again, this is a team that at one point was one of the model franchises. They were the only team when Joe Torre was the manager of the Yankees that had a winning record against the Yankees. And again, they have two stars, two of the most unique stars, Trout with his ability to hit home runs and steal bases, and Ohtani, the fact that he plays on both sides of the ball. But no one ever gets to see them because they're in Anaheim. And more on the Angels. The ballpark is an absolute dump. People talk about the A's, they killed their ballpark. That ballpark is an absolute dump. It's a disgrace. And I still get calls and emails from Angel ticket reps because I used to always go see the Yankees when I was living in Phoenix. You could drive there. It's a six and a half hour drive. You could take a flight. You could fly to San Diego, drive an hour up. There are many ways to get there. And the smog on that I-5 was absolutely terrible. I mean, you could see that smog in Phoenix. And the last thing, the reason that they're being cheap, the Angels have declined to send their radio announcers on the road. I mean, what, penny pinching 400 grand? I'd publicly offer Ohtani $550 million over 12 years, Costco type bargain, $22.5 million a year for each side of the ball. And the reason why I'm getting so upset about this, because I said it's familiar to me. Artie Moreno, the owner of the team, alum of the University of Arizona. So the Angels, hot mess. We'll be back in a little bit with the Knicks. Stay tuned. All right, this is part two of the Schloss Rant live here from the Philadelphia suburbs, March 29th. So switching gears here from the baseball to the Knicks. All right, Emmanuel quickly, and we're recording right now. It's about 8 o'clock. The Knicks right now are down 14-8 against the Miami Heat, but it's still early, but this is a pretty pivotal game. Well, let's talk about the Knicks as a whole, and then, you can kind of make your assumptions based on whether or not the Knicks win this game. Quickly is yet again proving that he can play, he can fit whatever role he needs to. He had 40 points last game. He had that big game earlier in the year against the Celtics when he absolutely took over in the double overtime game. And I think that he's going to win sixth man of the year. You're now sitting right now, if you're the Knicks, at 10 games over 500 going into the game against Miami, which is going on right now. You can tell I wrote my notes beforehand. And you need to hold off the Nets to get one of those top six seeds because you do not want to be in the play-in. The play-in is a situation in which anything can kind of happen, and you don't want to be involved in the play-in, especially if you've had such a good season so far. In season total, 43.5, that was flashing at one point a month ago or so. The Knicks are one game away from getting to that, and the preseason total for this team was around 39, so they've already exceeded expectations getting to 43 wins. But, and I've been saying this for a couple of months, that even if you lose to the Cavs in round one, It doesn't mean it was a bad decision to pass on Donovan Mitchell. Again, and we did a whole exercise a few podcasts ago where we went through the starting lineup of every NBA champion since the 1960. None of them had 2 6-foot-1 guards who defense wasn't their first, it wasn't their best skill. So having these type of players, a la Mitchell and Jalen Brunson, together in the same backcourt, sure, provides a lot of offense, but they only play with one basketball, and you're an absolute liability defensively, because then, you know, these teams run the pick and roll, the pick and pop. You're an absolute liability because you can't switch with two guys who are 6'1". It's not a formula for winning. It's a formula for excitement. You might cap out at the second round, but if you're a Knicks fan, you've been long-suffering like myself for the most part since the mid to late 90s. I don't want to just be exciting. I've seen that before. 2013 was exciting. 2021 was exciting. I want a team that has a serious chance to win basketball games going deep into the summer. All right? So I want to see them take proper steps to win a title. So again, even if they lose to the Cavs in the first round, I'm going to be disappointed they lost to the first round, but it's not an ultimatum saying that they should have acquired Donovan Mitchell. All right, and one more Knicks thing of note. Saw an interview where Kevin Garnett was talking with Dame Lillard, or talking about Dame Lillard, and he said he should go to the Knicks. It's a good thing that these players don't run teams for the most part. All right? Yeah, we all know Dame Lillard's great. One of the 75 best players of all time, according to the little survey. I mean, there's some holes in that survey, but you get the idea. He's still a great player. He's on the back nine of his career. Hey, go look at his Spotrac numbers, the contract website. In 2026, 2027, this is a guy that's going to be making about $63 million. I remember not that long ago getting a guy for 4 years, $63 million. Like the Lakers, I'm just going to pick one example. The Lakers in 2016 with Luol Deng or Timothy Mozgov, I think, the same deal after the 2016 season. You're like, oh, that's a lot of money. This is $63 million in 1 year. I mean, come on. And if you, again, and I'll say this again, like I said about Mitchell in relation to Brunson, there is one basketball. Jalen Brunson has been one of the best free agent acquisitions I've ever seen a team in New York make. Definitely the Knicks. I mean, this is a guy who's gotten better, and clearly it's because of the fact, again, one basketball also in Dallas with Luka. So now that he's had the chance to get a little bit higher usage, he's shooting efficient from three-pointers. He's taken a step up definitely in that direction. And he's got a chance to shine. And I think that, again, Lillard, sure, would he be great? Would it be exciting? Would he put points up on the board? Yeah, but I don't think it's necessary. And another Nick note, I mean, people love to just destroy Julius Randle when he, you know, does bad things, gets technicals. Sure, it's not great. I don't like seeing that he can be rattled. I don't like seeing that players can get under his skin. But for the most part, Julius Randle, he's exceeding his contract too. On this season, and I saw this on Twitter via Knicks Muse, Julius Randle has more points than Nikola Jokic, more rebounds than Joel Embiid, more assists than Joel Embiid, obviously not more than Jokic on the assists, more steals than Giannis, more three-pointers made than Luka. This guy's a talented guy. He's outperforming his contract. Can we slow down on the Julius Randle hate? Seriously. I mean, think about it. This is going to be his, this is his third season here now. Or is it his fourth? It's his fourth. But in two of the last three, they're in the playoffs. Assuming that they make it this year. I hope I didn't mush them. But, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs most likely this year again. So if we could just, you know, be a little more patient with this guy. Again, I don't like that people get under his skin, because I think that that's not good come the playoff times. You realize you can rattle and just put a defender who's going to get kind of up in his face, up in his grill. So I think with Randle, just be patient. Know that the guy's a talented player, okay? And the Knicks have come back here a little bit, 18-17, with a little bit less than three left in the first quarter. And as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to go turn on the game. So the Knicks, overall, they're heading in the right direction. If you would have told me this is where they'd be, probably in the 4-5 matchup, probably locked into that 5 seed, assuming they can hold off Miami and Brooklyn, I would have been satisfied. I would have been happy. All right, one more thing of note, because I didn't quite have as much Knicks stuff as I thought I would. But I heard today on the radio, my favorite sports talk host, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, he's got a son who's a grad assistant over there at UConn who's playing in the Final Four. And, you know, if you know Doggy, he, you know, he's kind of a contrarian with things at times. But this I thought was weird. He's got one of his kids, like I mentioned, who's a grad assistant. And he said he's only going to be in Houston for Saturday. And if UConn wins, he's still going back on Monday. I thought that that was weird. I thought that that's worth sharing. I mean, like, if this is me in that spot, I'm booking a one-way ticket, meaning I'm not, you know, trying to mush them either which way. I'm holding off to say, okay, if they win, I'm going to stay for Monday night for the championship game. And if they lose, then I'm getting back to Connecticut, where Doggy lives, obviously. If you've listened to his show, you know he lives up there in New Canaan, Connecticut, a super, super affluent suburbs of New York City. All right. Always got to be a Schloss rant if I talk about either Mike Francesa or Chris Russo, who, you know, I've been listening to either one of them for, you know, as far back as I can remember. All right. Schloss rant. Live Philadelphia suburbs. We gave you a good deal on the MLB, gave you a little bit on the Knicks. Let's hope the Knicks can come back, win this game right now. It's about 8 o'clock here in Philadelphia, or the Philadelphia suburbs, I should say. You know, half the time I just tell people I live in Philadelphia, which I technically don't, but right across the street, if you know, you look at the address, it's Philadelphia. So, all right, at any rate, Schloss rant live. We will see you later, everyone. Go Knicks. Go Yankees tomorrow for opening day, playing the San Francisco Giants. And I guess if you're the Giants, the football Giants, maybe you'll have a chance to have that picnic in the park with the baseball Giants after the game. If you're a Mike Francesa listener from back in the day, you'll get that. All right, Schloss rant. We'll see you later, everyone.